We'll do it live! Fuck it!
Hey there, cats and kittens. I'm Mike Coughlin. Welcome to MMA and Stuff. I'm in studio with the brothers McPuggle, and joined alongside me is nobody. Matt is unavailable. We're going old school. We're going me just doing this shit on my own. Normally, I would take these two beasts of burden out for a walk. You have to spell certain words at a certain age in your life. But I don't really want to. And it's kind of coldish. One of them's got like a limp. And I figured let's keep the traditional live of doing it in studio. I almost didn't do a show because there's fucking just basically fuck all to talk about. But then I thought to myself, no, keep it going. You can do this. You can stretch your intellectual muscles a little bit. I'm not happy with this. As you all know, I'd like to let Matt create the opening, the format of the show, the outline, the talking points, everything. And I can just sit here and do what I do, which is smoke a lot of air and drink a lot of orange juice. But, you know, without him here, I'll try to get to an hour. That's my goal, is to do an hour. It's been a minute! What the fuck? Fuck! Just fuck! Shit! Okay, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't really give a fuck about the last UFC. And now you think I should be able to just do this, because I do run halfguarded.com, the most successful MMA website that I visited in the past hour. Not the past 2 hours, but the past hour. I'm going to click the MMA news tab, because that's what we do. Oh, I know what Matt would want. He would want us to go back and talk about UFC in Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's only 6 o'clock, too. That's what's really good about this. Well, I got to do it with Matt. I got to wait for him, you know, to deal with his kids and his family and mortgages and work and insurance claims and things like that. So, like, he's like, I can't do it right away. And, like, I get home and it's, like, 4 in the afternoon. I wake up at fucking 5:30. So, suck my Don Johnson, motherfuckers. That's a weird reference. Wonder Boy's got a weird tan. I'm watching Wonder Boy versus Rory McDonald in the background. I think Wonder Boy's got a farmer's tan. But yeah, so I got nothing to do, but I have to wait around. And then by the time we're finally finished, even though I know it's technically an hour later for him than it is for me, and I'm only really saying this because he's probably like the only person who's going to listen. Is he really fucking talking about this? Oh my God. 3 fucking minutes! 57 to go, motherfuckers. I should be able to crank this shit out like it's nothing. I still will. I haven't even gotten anything substantive, like Mexicans. And there's more stuff to talk about this week. Gay men who are homophobic. I don't know. So, yes, UFC Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, a place that I think is closer. Okay, it's closer to Iceland than Iceland is to Chicago. Oh, fuck me. That doesn't make any sense. I know last week I talked about where Nova Scotia was, and it was, is Nova Scotia closer to Iceland than it is to Chicago? And I thought it was, and I did a search and just realized I did Chicago to Iceland and Halifax to Iceland, and obviously Halifax is closer. Halifax to Iceland is 6,000 some odd kilometers, and Chicago to Iceland is like a couple thousand miles. I think it's a close. Let's just assume I'm right, though. In the main event, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Derek Lewis defeated Travis Brown the way Travis Brown defeated his ex-wife. Oh, topical. It actually plays into it. They went out there and they fought. And in the second round, Travis Brown got the shit beat out of him. He got rocked, he got dropped, he got pounded, it was over. Again, it's date night for Mr. Brown. These jokes are all so much better when I'm just firing off with Matt. He can play a straight guy. You know the joke I'm going with there. I'll make it next week when I have an audience. This is also better if I hear Matt laugh, then I'm like, oh, I'm reassured 50-50. 5 minutes to go. So, Derek Lewis beat Travis Brown for, I think, Lewis's heavyweight record of more than 3 wins in a row. Travis Brown is now not won a fight in years. And I think the last victory he had was when he beat Matt Mitrione after he poked him in the eye. Pause, please. I can also drink easier when Matt's here. By far, the highlight of the show and of this fight was afterwards. They were asking Mr. Black Beast Derek Lewis, "Were you hurt in the first round?" Because he got hit with a front kick to the stomach and he reacted immediately. And he said in the cage and in more explicit terms later on backstage that he was afraid he's going to shit his pants. I guess he had had some indigestion. He got kicked and he felt like he had a fart. He even said, "No, I just waited a little bit and I squeezed out a fart at one point and I felt better." This is obviously hilarious in and of itself because it's a grown man shitting himself in the middle of a cage in the middle of Albany, New York. And he's called the Black Beast. If he was white, if he's a white beast, setting aside the connotation of the racist nickname, it'd still be funny if a man named with the nickname Beast shit inside of an octagon. You know, like a beast would. But I also laugh because I know we talked about it recently, but one of the additions to the new unified rules where everybody's kind of getting familiar with, okay, 10 people, okay, there's going to be more 10-8 rounds. Okay, we all know the big ones are don't extend your hand out with the fingers or you're going to get a point, although I've yet to see someone lose a point that way. And the biggest of all is what constitutes a down fighter, but one of the things discussed, and I can't remember if it was passed or not, but whatever, I don't give a fuck. Alternative news these days, topical jokes about Trump. One of the proposed rules was that if a fighter shit himself, it would be, a disqualification. At the time of this, we kind of laughed because what the fuck? I know Tim Sylvia shit himself a little bit on one of his fights, but as a rule, fighters don't usually shit themselves on national TV. In fact, people don't. And cage fighters really don't. They're all wearing really tight white spandex. We'd see the shit stains. But somehow this came up. I don't know who came up with it. Whomever it was that recommended it. Obviously some sort of freak with a scat fetish. McDonald versus Thompson is on. And I think I just saw myself. Was I at this fight live? That seems odd. Every once in a while, I'll be watching shit on Fight Pass, and I'll see myself be like, "Hey, that's me. I don't remember this." Anyway, so Derek Lewis almost shit himself, which was funny, very funny. And then, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. I need to imbibe something before I get to the end. Then this is very important. This is dramatic. This is something you will not get anywhere else online. Or not online either. I don't think the New York Times is covering this. Derek Lewis cut this little promo where he explained that he had to make a number two. He said number two, and then he said a boo-boo. So he must have children, or he's fucking Boo Radley in there. I would say that regardless of the skin color. And then he continued it up with, "Where's Ronda Rousey at? Where's that fine piece of ass?" And also, I think he added right before that, "Travis Brown's the kind of man that likes to put hands on women, so I put my hands on him." And basically talk more shit to Travis Brown, which, one, fucking awesome. Like, I love that. Yeah, it's kind of half bullshit. It's not like he's out there defending a woman's honor right away in the street, but I like the idea that we can all pray that Derek Lewis doesn't do anything bad, and I have no reason to believe that he will, but if he ever did, it would suck. He's out there being like, "Fuck you, you woman beater." And then, when I watched, because I didn't actually watch this fight when it happened live, because as I noted in the play-by-play on the site, I fell asleep after this co-main event, semi-main event. I fucking co-main event myself. Actually, this one I think is a co-main event. But still, 50 minutes ago. It was boring, I fell asleep, and I woke up on the couch in the morning on a work day going, "I drank too much," but what else is new? It's a day ending in Y. So I didn't watch this initially live. I watched it on. I first watched it on UFC's YouTube page. They had like the end of the fight, the promo, and everything. You could like watch it. And so I hear it, and they kind of have an awkward jump cut. And in the jump cut, they edited out the reference to Travis Brown being an alleged woman beater, and they referenced out in all everything Ronda Rousey. Fucking hilarious. That's some fake news, people. Topical. I kind of get why they edited out the part about Travis Brown, because he was accused in 2006. UFC provisionally suspended him, and then a couple weeks later, like 2 months, I think, they reinstated them, saying that their own internal investigation revealed nothing to the claims, and Travis Brown has not been arrested, or I should say, he's obviously not been convicted. He's not even been tried. They haven't even brought charges against him for anything like this. Still, he looks like a dick, so we can make the worst assumptions about him because we're assholes here too, even though we have no evidence of it. And then, so I kind of get that. You're the UFC. Am I quiet? No, I'm not. I'm just not used to seeing my voice on that register there. So I mean, you're the UFC. You think, okay, fine. I can understand it. I wouldn't have edited it. I mean, maybe they're afraid of some libel issue. Maybe, but I thought it was great. I thought it was fucking, it was the best part of the promo. I mean, instead, all you saw on TV was, I had to make a number two and a boo-boo. And then they, but if you watched it later on, you would never see the part where he's like, yeah, he puts hands on women, so I put hands on him. I think that's what he said. Like, you leave in the part where he sounds like a fucking moron who wants to shit himself, and you edit out the part where he's a badass who beats up women beaters. That's the best fucking part of the night. But the part where they edited it out about, you know, where's Ronda Rousey and her fine ass at, that should not have been edited out at all. I guess they'll probably claim that it would have been more difficult because they wanted to edit the other part and it was smoother, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But still, that was a good line. It was funny. And the only reason to take it out was to protect Ronda and her frail little ego. But fuck her. She's a loser. Can't win fights anymore. It's not really true. I mean, she was Sarah McMahon did earlier in the night on this show, and you're like, yeah, Ronda beat her, and even though it's kind of like the peak of Ronda's like mental dominance thing, still, what, I don't fucking care, fuck her. I would. I fucked far uglier than her, and very few even on par with her, maybe, yeah, but it would be worth it. I'm going to get an STD from someone, might as well get it out of the way with an Olympian. Oh, he's not doing something. He's grabbing code. Good to hear that, Tony Galvin from Comic Conversations here on HalfGuarded.com. So, she's your big star and all, but if her ego is hurt that much, given that she sucks, I mean, if I'm in their shoes, I'd do the same thing. I'd protect her, but fuck her and fuck them. I'm not a billionaire. I don't have $1 billion at stake. I know, you can stoke the ego. You can stoke the fires of the ego while you stroke it. Yeah. I understand you stroke the ego a little bit. You use your pinky before you go all in. I get it. That's fine. It's what happens. That's the nature of the business. But seriously, fuck Ronda. She hasn't done shit. She doesn't want to fight since this website was 2 months old. Less than 2 months old. When Ronda last won a fight, this website had, I think, about 10,000 total hits, and I think we're almost at 2 million views. My brother was not engaged, and I still had some hope of the future. I was also like 30 pounds lighter. I just been eating and drinking a lot. But again, she's still Ronda. She's going to be on an episode of The Blind Spot, a show that I liked for a couple of episodes because it has a hot chick with lots of tattoos and short dykish hair that's jet black, and that will fucking turn me on like there's no tomorrow. That's one of the reasons I don't go to a therapist. I don't want to explore why. I just want to enjoy it. But whatever. Johnny Hendricks defeated Hector Lombard, and the fight was a piece of shit. It sucked. Neither one of them tried anything wrestling-wise. They just boxed. They threw shit at each other. I don't care. I wrote that it sucks. Sam Cecilia, Gavin Tucker, no one gives a fuck. Elias Theodora defeated Cesar Fajea by decision. This also, continuing the theme, sucked, especially with Pretty Boy Fuckface winning. Sarah McMahon defeated Gina Mazzani. Nobody knows Gina Mazzani because she's named Gina Mazzani. And who gives a fuck about her? But McMahon went out, took her down, didn't take any damage, mounted, head and arm triangle. That was all she wrote. And what she wrote was very short and concise. But it was fine. I saw some pictures online of Sarah McMahon looking kind of attractive as she, like, weighed in and stuff. She's kind of a looker. She's got, like, a bad fucking tattoo, though. She got, like, a weird Donald Cerrone type tattoo on her back. And I just said I like the chicks with the tattoo, which is true. But, like, a weird big piece like that can kind of be sexy. But I'm more like about chicks with, like, lots and lots of little ones. Like, chicks shouldn't have a big piece. Nordin Tulab, no one cares. Carlos Sparza, no one cares. No one cared about that. It was a cool knockout when Thiago Santos knocked out Jack Marshman with a spinning heel kick. That was neat. Paul Felder defeated Alessandro Ricci. I'm actually remembering this shit off the top of my head. Kind of like a jab that knocked him down, blah, blah, blah. No one cared. And earlier, the first fight of the night, Gerald Meerschaert defeated Ryan James. GM3 trains out of the Rufus Sport Academy there in Minnesota, Wisconsin, with my friend Daniel. Came out there in the first round, got taken down, and pulled off a very, very beautiful submission. An armbar. It was something that you would see, like, if you were demonstrating it in a class or in a video or something like that. It was that perfect. It was beautiful. You don't see them really in MMA that often, which, I know GM3 is a decent submission artist, but I think that says probably more about Ryan James. But Ryan James is a black belt in his own right, whatever that matters. So, good for GM3. Overall, as a card, it fucking sucked, except for the part where Derek Lewis said that he wants to shit on Ronda Rousey's fine ass. I'm trying to think what the other news is. This is one of the things Matt's really good at. He finds all the news from the week and shit like that. And I kind of forget about it, even if I write about it. They announced the cast of The Ultimate Fighter. Plus, I also drink and smoke a lot of weed while I do these shows. So I don't always remember what happens, mostly for the second hour. So if we already cover this, who cares? February 16th, they announced the cast of The Ultimate Fighter, headlined by 16th. That was after we recorded a show. I can talk about this. Hosted, coached by Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw. I just watched Garbrandt's incredible performance against Dominic Cruz at UFC 207 because I was bored. Even though I was in person for that one, I remember the moments, but whatever. God damn, Garbrandt was on fire there. I think it's being underrated. That may be one of the top 10 greatest performances in MMA history. It really was. It reminds me kind of in scope and scale of when Fyodor defeated Nogueira for the first time, the Pride 25. Just kind of one of those fights where when it was over, you're like, holy shit. Like, this is a guy fighting the best in the world, and he's on his best night ever. Like, Cody Garbrandt may defend the title several times in his life. He's already, he's undefeated, 10 or 11-0, some shit like that. He's had fights where he looked really good. He's had fights where he looked kind of sloppy. This, to me, was a perfect storm of Cody Garbrandt that night was so sharp that, the stereotypical, he's in the zone. A lot of athletes are in the zone. And people kind of dismiss it, but it's bullshit. It really does exist. Anybody who's ever competed in anything, as I like to mention every once in a while, to recall and put the idea in your head that I'm a competitor. I've won a medal every year for years. I got like 15 or 16. Fuck your nuts. There are times when you do anything athletic, even non-athletic, when you're it's like an out of body experience. And you just kind of see things a little clearer. Everything slows down. Your body does exactly what you're telling it to. And I say this as somebody that, again, this happens incredibly rarely. it's almost never really happened to me in competition. I think like twice. And on that, even in practice, like you get it every so often where you're just like, I know how to do this technique and it's working just like I expected it to. And you see what your opponent's going to do and you see it well in advance and you're countering it, and you're just like, holy shit. And sometimes it may be for 1 5-minute period of time, one roll, but it's there and it's real. And I think Cody Garbrandt was in that mode. I know I'm just recapping a fucking fight from months ago, but shut the fuck up. And Dominic Cruz, I didn't think it was bad at all that night. I thought Dominic Cruz looked very good. Just Cody Garbrandt was in the once-in-a-lifetime mode. So, yeah. So, anyways, they announced the names of the show that he will be headlining and coaching on, because what the fuck is wrong with me? I couldn't just go to this shit where I make fun of the fact that we have Joe Stevenson and Jesse Taylor is your big name. Everybody on the show is a previous Ultimate Fighter season contestant, although nobody's won. The full list, as I said, Jesse Taylor and Joe Stevenson, those are the most well-named. Jesse Taylor, being the Dick Face, I think in 2008, because I believe that's when I was in France, who won his season, or was going to the finals, the live finals, but got wasted in a hotel. I think it was one of the Fertitta Brothers hotels, back when the Fertitta Brothers owned the UFC. Oh my gosh, we're in the third iteration of owners, maybe fourth if you count Horian. And he like kicked out a window of a limousine and all this shit. He acted like a drunken asshole. Frankly, I thought it looked like a Friday, but whatever. And so they cut him, but then they brought him back, and he lost to CB Dalloway. He's never been in the UFC since. So a bit of a fucked up tale. He's had, you know, like, a couple of runs where he's been... I wrote all this shit on the site. You know, if you don't know Jesse Taylor, then thank you for listening. That means you're a newer fan in the grand scheme of things, and I appreciate you listening. Joe Stevenson, yeah, from season 2, by the way. Nobody from season 4, funny enough. But yeah, otherwise, Diego Lima, James Krause, Seth Baczynski, I mean, Ramzi Dejan, there's a lot of guys, they're all kind of like small middleweights, big lightweights, and Joe Stevenson's big featherweight. Eh, whatever. They did the exact same thing in Ultimate Fighter Season 4. You know, they had a bunch of former UFC fighters, and the winner got a title shot, and the winner was Matt Serra, and Matt Serra beat George St. Pierre via knockout, one of the last losses of St. Pierre's career there in Texas. And I think that was 2005 or 2006. So I'm going to look that up, because without Matt here, I can just go back to the old school five-star radio style and do whatever I want on the fly, and nobody can tell me otherwise, motherfuckers. I can just talk as I look at something on Wikipedia, and that's all it is. I'm going to go with, it was October of 2000. No, it wasn't October. It was in spring, wasn't it? Okay, it could have been 2006. Okay, it wasn't 2005 in the spring. I go by time when I was dating the Conger. Anybody remember the Conger? She's working her PhD in New Zealand. Clearly her life improved after me. Drink time. I remember it was on the Houston show. Had Leonard Garcia versus Roger Huerta. It was a great fight. I also remember that was the school year when Gomi lost to Nick Diaz, and I gained all the credibility in the world. 2007 is when I started law school, and she finished undergrad. I finished undergrad in 2005. This fight was not in 2005. 2007? It couldn't be. It's got to be 2006. This fight was in 2000. Oh, but no. George St. Pierre and Matt Serra was... I keep thinking it's in this fall, but that was I watched something else in the fall. This was spring of 2000. Ooh, it could be spring 2006. 2000 spring of 2006 when he lost. I'm gonna say it was because I watched it at my brother's place. Brother Brian, he had his own apartment in Iowa City. I never had my own fucking apartment. I stayed in a dorm for fucking years, you fucking cocksucking piece of this shit. Although I love all cocksuckers. But the glory hole, you don't even know. Hope they have a slot for the balls in the glory hole. So I watched it. okay, 2007, I think, is, yeah, fall of 2007 is when I was UFC 77 with Silva and, I think that was Silva and Franklin, part two. So I went to that one, and I spent too much money on a really nice hotel in Cincinnati, I guess, because Columbus was later. So that was 2007, because I was done with the Conor then. So Conor was at, it's either spring of 06 or 07 or fall of 07. It's only an 18-month period there. And there's two, so let's see. So if I know that in, this is fucking riveting. It's riveting. I'm not going to look at Wikipedia. I'm just going to talk and smoke and drink and do whatever I want, because it's a fucking sitting on your ass on the couch road rage radio. I have fucking pimples on my ass right now. I don't know why. It sucks. Getting old is a piece of shit deal. 3 hours until Legion. Okay, let's see. It was in the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. It's fall of 2006. I'm sorry, a spring of 2006. It is 100% the spring of 2006 when George St. Pierre lost the title to Matt Serra. I know this. I bet my reputation on it. Spring of 2006. Let's see it, motherfuckers. Come on, Wikipedia. Show me what I'm at. Survey says April 7, 2007. Motherfucker! Fuck! Gosh, fucking damn it! Fuck! Why did I say 06? Why? Why would I do that? Oh, damn it! Damn it! Oh, what a fucking loser I am. Don't look at me, dog. Shit! I got distracted by a reminder I sent for myself. Because I was like, I need things to talk about on the show. And I will talk about that concept in a second. Thank you, Siri. Fuck me. I fucked. Whatever. I bet my reputation on it. I lost. 2008 is when he fought John Fitch, though. I know that. So, yeah, it's going to be a retread of a season. Ultimate Fighter Season 4 did this. This is Ultimate Fighter Season 25. It burns. It burns! Stop looking at me, dogs. Get your foot out of my kidney. It's not doing anything. So, yeah, let's see what else I wrote down in the news. Poor Matt. I know he wanted to talk about stuff, too, but he's got, family things and sickness, and he's sick, his kids are sick, and I didn't fucking talk about Fyodor and Matt Mitrione. Bellator. that fight didn't happen. Because Mitrione got sick or something the day of the fight, and they pulled out. So that show became a shit show. There will be rumors that Patricky Pitbull beat Josh Thompson. Ignore those rumors. Those rumors will say that Pitbull beat him with a punch at all times. Thompson showed some dexterity and movement, but he's still 38, 39 years old. Looks like a golden god. Oh, I wonder what his butt smells. I bet his butt smells like lavender. And that Thompson showed a lot of versatility, but he just still got clipped, and his chin isn't there, and he's a little older and maybe a little slower, and that's why Pitbull was able to drop him several times, including finishing him in the second round, even though people will say in defense of Josh, when they say that he lost, even though he didn't lose, but they would say, if they admitted that he lost, that the final knockdown that dropped him was a short uppercut, but it was preceded by a knockdown via a headbutt, so therefore Pitbull cheated like a cheater would cheat. So yes, Josh Thompson defeated Pitbull, Patricky Pitbull. Don't listen to anybody else, even if they tell you Pitbull knocked him out in the second round. That's a lie. It's an alternative fact. Chuck Congo won a decision. It sucked. That's some middleweight shit no one cares about. It sucked. A chick fight happened. It sucked. Ortega beat Brooke Mayo, which is too bad, because Brooke Mayo, she's a looker. I give her the high-hard one, if you know what I mean. Fucking her face. Kasha came back for his first fight in forever, and he showed why it's his first fight in forever. When they didn't really do jack shit for most of their fight, and then 30 seconds ago in the first round, so didn't much of a round, Mauricio Alonso destroyed Kasha, dropped him, finished him, ended his life. And that was that fight. That was that show. So, yeah, even the most exciting thing that Bellator promoted in forever did not happen for what can only be described as Ian McCall reasons. And it sucks to be Ian McCall, but sorry, dude. That's what you're going to be known as from now on. What other news is there that I can look at before I go on random rants? I think we're at like 20 minutes to go. Oh, fuck. We did talk about George St. Pierre. We must have talked about George St. Pierre because last Wednesday. And if we didn't, then Matt will bring it up. But I'm pretty sure we talked about George St. Pierre. All right. Let me see how much time we've done. Yeah. Oh, 30 minutes. Fuck me. I got more to do. Hold on. We're going to mosey on over here to the bar. I remember when I fucking started podcasting, I had never had a drink in my life. And now I cannot legitimately remember the last time I did a show without a drink. It's probably either one of the dog walking ones or the podcast with Mishka Shubali, the great Mishka Shubali. I have a real problem, and if I could quit, it would be great. But I feel like I'd have to quit. I can't, and I don't want to quit. I want to do moderation. But I don't think I can do moderation, so I'm a little bit fucked and kind of scared. And it sounds like I'm mocking people with issues, but I'm really not. I'm like Milo, making jokes about something serious. So, we're a half hour in. I was going to do an hour. Plan to do an hour. And usually we do like most of the second half of the show is like about stuff. No, it's good when Matt and I do stuff, because Matt's a big flaming liberal from Taxachusetts. And I'm just a salt of the earth, ordinary man from the middle of the heartland here in Chicago. Even though I'm terrified of, like, wildlife, guns, public transportation. I'm that rare part of America that no one gives a fuck. Suburbs of big cities. We're a little more to the right, but we're still kind of pussies. But I don't give a fuck. It's still my site. I can write whatever I want. First thing I want to talk about was the concept of infinite universes. I apologize if I repeat myself on this. Maybe I said this on a show once before. If I did, it was a walkabout episode with the dog, and it was several minutes into it, probably halfway, and I bet no one fucking listened or gave a shit. I'm in studio. This is probably the best the show will sound all year, because I think when Matt and I do it, there's a little bit of a drop in audio quality, so this should sound pretty fucking good. Plus, there's a chance to win $5 at stake on the show if you read the site, the description there at halfguarded.com, and you're not a puggle that pissed on my bed. Infinite universes do not exist. They don't. 1 second as I help myself get in the right state of mind, to remind you that infinite universes do not exist. So yes, they don't. Now, this does not say that a multiverse does not exist. This is not, the concept of infinity, I have a lot of theories about pi and what pi means and all irrational. I think pi is an irrational number, or it's an impossible number or something like that. The mere fact that we have equations can result in this number, and this number is undefinable, means either one of two things. We just have simply failed to be able to define it, and there is a definite end, or that there is something undefinable that exists within the universe and therefore is outside of the universe. Thus, God is a piece of pie. However, the concept of infinite universes does not exist. People will tell you that it exists, and they will say that every action creates an infinite number of different variations. You know, there's a scenario where I'm a man, a boy, a dog, a pig, blah, 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 blah. You've heard all this shit. But that's not true. Because within the known universe, now the universe does expand, but it expands into nothing. And so it expands into a vacuum. And I realize now that the concept of dark matter, which really... No, dark matter, more dark gravity. Someone's been listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. There's a finite amount of matter in the universe. Now, it may be incalculable for us. It may be beyond our ability to conceive it. But within the universe, this moment, not the future, not the past, this moment, when I'm saying this, when you're listening to this today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, and I hope a decade from now when people are scouring the internet as I run for president on a policy. Fuck me. I'm never going to make it. A policy of Puggles carrying peanut butter jars. A regular occurrence here in Casa de Mike. Fuck Casa. So there are a finite number of atoms, molecules, whatever, in the universe at this moment. Whatever the smallest thing is for a building block, a neutron, an electron, whatever, there's a finite number of those. And to simplify it, the universe is a glass, and inside the glass you put two rubber balls. Oh, that doesn't really work. The universe is a tub, and inside that tub you've put five blue balls, five red balls. There's only so many ways. Now, and every time you reach in, you pull out so many different combinations. There's only so many different combinations and number of red balls and blue balls you could put together. You know, 10 and 10, 10 and 9, 10 and 8, 10, so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. There is a finite number there. We know this for a fact. You know, in a closed system, and the universe is a closed system. It sounds like a contradiction, but yes, it expands, but at any given moment in time, as we define time, it is closed. And within that closed system, there are X number of particles, neutrons, whatever the fuck it is. So yes, there may be a multiverse. There may be a universe where every atom in my body reacts a little differently. There is like everything that we've ever known as to be true is the same until right now when I spontaneously busted into flames and became the Human Torch and could fly around like Johnny Storm. That's possible. Some weird combination happens. But again, there's only so many combinations. The number of combinations may as well be called infinite, but it's not, because there is a finite number. So therefore, there is not an infinite number of potential universes, the multiverse. There is a finite number. It is a huge finite number. For all intents and purposes, you can call it an infinite number, but it's really not. There is a point when you go, there's no more ways to combine these atoms. And so therefore, the concept of an infinite multiverse does not exist. You heard it here first. And how fucking freaked out is anybody going to be? Everybody going to be? When, like, in, like, 5 years, some genius guy comes out and is like, oh, holy shit. Now, the difference will be that the genius guy will be able to use, you know, math, numbers, addition, subtraction, shit like that. Things I can't do. He can probably balance a checkbook. I can't do that. I mean, I probably could, but I'm just like, fuck it. The bank says that's what money I got. I don't have that much money. If I had like hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands or even thousands or even hundreds of dollars, maybe I'd notice. But it's like, if the bank's off, it's like, oh, they're off by 20 bucks. Well, I'll fucking survive because I need the 20 bucks. But yeah, I prove the fact that there is no such thing as an infinite number of universes. I have all these things. I have like these notes I said to myself. I'm like, remind me at, and I was I set the reminders to be when Matt and I usually record. I already mentioned that. Mentioned that Josh was robbed because of a bullshit headbutt. Mentioned Matt being the guy that does all the hard work here. I mentioned the part where they edited off the Ronda thing on the UFC recap. I mentioned the part about Derek Lewis almost shitting himself and the weirdness of that being a rule. Fuck me. This is so much easier when Matt's here. All I have, I mentioned the part, infinite universes don't exist. Fuck me. And therefore, the only thing I have left to say is talk about why I hate zoos. So that sounds exciting, doesn't it? I don't like zoos. I'm a meat eater. I eat all the meats that exist. I want to get away from eating pork and possibly beef, and it's for irrational reasons. There's no logical reason for it. But I saw a video of a pig, and they called it, and the pig came and ran and laid on its belly so you could pet its belly. And I'm like, oh, it's just a pink little doggy. Oh, it's so cute. That's the entire reason I'm like, well, I can't eat a dog. And cows usually are dumb. They're really fucking dumb creatures. But I saw this video of a woman, and she was yodeling and doing all this shit and, like, singing a song, and all these cows came running, and they were kind of looking at her. They're kind of curious. And they were probably just looking for food, but they showed a little bit of intelligence in their brain, just the tiniest little bit. So I'm like, oh, man, there's even something there. Then I looked at a chicken, and I had no fucking problem eating a chicken. That is a fucking dumb, useless animal. I will eat its eggs. I will eat it. I will eat its children. Fuck a chicken. Well, ooh, that's a weird one. So, yeah, zoos. I believe that people that work at zoos or SeaWorld and shit like that, like the people that work there, I think for the most part, they're really good people who care. I think that the people that work at circuses are, like, hit and miss. I'm sure there's somebody who's like, I love elephants, and now I get a chance to work with elephants, help them. And then there's just a lot of guys who, you know, had a fetish for the bearded chick and fell in love and joined the circus, and after she left, he realized he was 33 years old, unemployed, uneducated. This is the only thing he could do in life. So he's like, yeah, I'll fucking beat the fucking elephant into sitting down on the chair. And, you know, the circus, it's probably more than just Americans, but I know Americans at least. We love the circus. There's something very, it's very old school. It harkens back to what we consider a simpler time, a time when women got beaten, a time when they couldn't vote, a time when blacks weren't human beings. But it still felt like a simpler time, and everybody seemed happier back then, white men. And the circus coming to town is kind of one of those things. And for even someone like me, like 34, I'm not exactly old, I'm not exactly young, I remember we went to the circus once, and I remember that we got cotton candy, and I didn't really like it because it was kind of weird. And I think there was a tiger. I still, again, I have the memory of going to the circus, and I can still very, very clearly remember the circus coming to the Allstate Arena, the former Rosemont Horizon here in Chicago. And it was for like a week, whatever, and it seemed to be, I think, August. So there's something kind of about your childhood that's involved with the circus and going to see the circus and, oh, there's clowns and tigers and all this shit. But the truth is, they're fucking destroying those animals. So fuck that. It's just bullshit. Like, yeah, we can eat animals. I would hopefully try to do it in the humane as way as possible, which is kind of stupid. But fuck, when we kill somebody for the death penalty, we try to use, like, a drug so they don't feel any pain. We're not out there hang-drawn and quartering them. So we are a little... You can be humane even if you kill something and then consume its flesh. I hope. And so, but those are the losers. Fucking SeaWorld and San Diego Zoo, Brookfield Zoo here in Chicago. I think the people there like the animals. And I go to the zoo way more than a grown man should because my friend's got a kid. And it's kind of fun. I don't mind. I see the bears. And I'm lucky. I am literally 10 minutes from one of the greatest zoos in the world. Like, the Brookfield Zoo here in Chicago is a legitimate world-class zoo. It has, like, all kinds of shit. Although we got rid of an elephant for some reason. Dog, you're annoying me. Dogs don't belong in zoos. They apparently belong pissing on my bed. Hold on. This is so much better when Matt's here to talk. As for zoos, there's a lot of, again, the people that work with the animals, I think they care. I think the animals probably have a decent enough life given that they're prisoners / slaves, but they're animals. Like, in America, if you were a slave, The alternative, or in prison, we'll say slavery or being in prison. The alternative to both of those is walking around free and being happy. If you're in a zoo and you're like a gazelle, the alternative to being in the zoo is walking around free and worrying if somebody's going to eat you alive. So it's probably a little bit better to be in the zoo. That said, it's nature and it's running around doing shit, and I'm sure it would be happier to be in an environment where they don't worry about being eaten, but they can walk around and do shit. So, you know, fantasy land. Utopias don't exist. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders wants to create a perfect habitat for all animals. Actually, that's a pretty good platform. But I was watching Earth 2 when it was on. I saw some things jumping around, and I realized, like, as I'm watching, it's high as fuck, but it's still awesome. You only watch Earth shit on Planet Channel or whatever with drugs. But when you see these animals, you see them truly in the wild. That video of the lizard escaping the snakes has gone viral, and it's just like, holy shit. You never see anything like that at the zoo. I'm 34. I've probably been to the zoo at least 25 times in my life, I would bet. I can count on one hand the number of things I've ever seen an animal do. It's mostly the monkeys kind of swinging around. I saw like a rhinoceros take a giant shit, and one time a lion roared. Like, fucking 25 times, that's all I've ever really seen an animal do. Sometimes I saw a bear swim. But when they show this shit on, again, National Geographic, Animal Planet, whatever, we now have the ability to see all of this stuff in super incredible HD, way better than being 15 feet away across a moat and a fence. You can see them doing things and running and jumping. If you see it in IMAX, you can see it in 3D. One day we're going to get really, really, really good 3D. We'll probably get, you know, fucking smell-o-vision and all that. I hate dogs right now, you dipshit dog. And so any benefit of, you know, somebody sees an animal in person, they fall in love, and they start a conservation effort and shit like that, which is, you know, that's real. And that's a good reason to keep some animals in prison cages. The zoo, I sound like a fucking whack job saying this shit. I understand somebody would see that, and it's kind of like, we have one elephant that gets mistreated, but because he does, he inspires somebody to save 20 elephants, so it's a net gain. But with all this TV shit, it's an even bigger net gain. I go to the fucking zoo, and like I just said earlier, what do I think? Hey, these animals got pretty fucking good. They fucking sit around all day, and all they do is shit, piss, eat, and fuck. And most of that they can do behind closed doors. But then I watch it, like, on the Animal Planet, and I'm like, fuck, I want to see this thing leap and do things. Like, this is what these are designed to do. It's awesome. It's inspiring. I love it. Again, these animals are running for their life. I referenced the lizard escaping from the snakes. And as breathtaking as that was, because they had all this music behind it, when the lizard escaped, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a triumph. There was also several other lizards that did not escape. And even then, in the triumph, it's like, it's like watching a gang rape, and when the rape victim gets away before being raped, you're like, yes, I'm cheering for you. You're like, you should be like, what the fuck did I just see? Like, if this is human beings, you'd be like, okay, great, that guy escaped from being eaten alive, but what the fuck's going on with all these fucking things eating people alive? It would be disgusting and gruesome, and I'm saying that we should treat animals like people. Don't be a speciesist. Animals have rights, too, and lefts. They have left paws. Don't forget about the left paws, just because you always focus on their animal rights. It's rude and undistinguished and unbecoming of you. Yes. Yes, unbecoming of you. You shouldn't do that. There's some things in the news. Let's see. I'm sure we got 50 minutes. The Milo thing, I guarantee we would have talked about. It feels like ranting without... I don't care. If he wants to talk about it next week, fine. Maybe I'll get into it if I keep drinking. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get through an hour. I'm fucking done. This is awesome. Not that I don't love you guys. I just miss Matt. I miss having someone to talk to. He's by far the longest conversation I have all week. Although I've been having lunch with my brother because we're both working in the city right now. Me part-time, him all the time because he's a real adult. Tyron Woodley looks like he's on Queer Street against Wonder Boy. You know, I don't know. I write down shit all the time throughout the week. Like, little bits. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. Sometimes for the show. Sometimes just to, you know, make people laugh. Like my friend Megan, I've been mentioning her throughout the show for months now. She had her baby on Friday. A beautiful baby girl, Meredith Elaine, I think. Or no, Meredith Eleanor. Meredith, though. Good, strong white name. It is white. Let's face it. There is no black woman on the planet named fucking Meredith. None. Although seeing strong sout does imply racism. So, yeah. The kid's like 8 pounds, 5 ounces. I think that's pretty hefty and good. I think I was like that much. Or maybe I was 7 pounds, 6 ounces. I don't know. It sounds like it's a good size. She had 3 days, actually, but for her insurance to be in the hospital after the baby was done. And she went home after two. And she had a C-section. I don't know. That's good. For all the negatives in American healthcare system, I use but I don't use like the normal I make a deliberate and then I pause. This will be like, yes, I'm aware of my tick here. The corollary to shorter times in the hospital, the corrupt American evil healthcare system has caused, is that we have learned to improve science. People heal faster and get better quicker because they have less time, which makes medicine better in the long run. And we've learned that it's better to convalesce and recover at home than in a hospital where, you know, MRSA breaks out versus at home when all you have to worry about is your kid shitting on your pussy, because your kid will shit on your pussy. I don't know how babies work. But anyway, the point is, she had a baby, so good for her, I guess. I don't know. I wrote down, call a vagina a baby shitter. And I also wrote down, this is true. This is actually really true. My dream life is almost what I have right now, just with my a place in the middle of nowhere, my dogs, and I don't have to work. I can just drink and do drugs all day and do this shit. Like, I don't need, like, a lot of money. I just need, like, the internet. And maybe just the internet. I could probably get by without the DirecTV or some shit like that. I'd just be like, hey, Brother Brian or my mom, what's your Comcast shit? And just watch live TV that way. So basically, it's just a little place for me to, in the middle of nowhere. And I can be left alone. Sit. Like, sleep as much as I want. Read as much as I want. I would just get like meals ready to order because I don't want to cook my own shit. So I just have, you know, mandatory sleeping, mandatory reading and relaxing. Somebody prepares all my meals for me. I just sit and do nothing all day. Like, basically, my dream life is prison minus the butt rape. And honestly, you know, at this point, I'm kind of, I'm negotiable on the butt rape thing. I'm not going to lie. I could go for that. I'm trying to think what else. Let's see. 53. I can close now whenever I want. This wasn't a good bit to close on, though. Sorry. I think the bit about my dad being a racist and me not knowing it is my best so far. Did I mention the joke I wrote about, yeah, people looking alike? You know how, like, when people get older, they start to kind of look like each other? And everybody's like, oh, they kind of look alike. Yeah, that's how I knew it was time to divorce my ex-wife, because, you know, somebody looked at me one day and goes, holy shit, you look like a soul-sucking cunt that would take everybody's money and leave them with nothing and destroy them emotionally. I was like, ooh, that's what I look like now. Huh. Yeah, laugh at it, fuckers. Here's some dumb commentary. I don't know. I was thinking about how cities are only known for certain things, and you don't always know what your city is known for. Like, if certain cities, fine. You're in New York City. you know the people are going to be like Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, 9/11. Like, you're just like, oh, that's what people know, the Yankees, shit like that. And they're not all negative. Chicago, probably people think hot dogs, pizza, Cubs, and maybe that we set the whole place on fire. Los Angeles, traffic and smog, and so on and so forth. But if you're living in these cities, you might not really appreciate that that's the impact or view people have. Again, like I say, I'm from Chicago here. And I think, well, people right think about, like, I don't know, our pizza and the fire, but maybe people don't really think much about the Chicago fire. Maybe they think about, like, you know, the fugitive or something like that. And then I started thinking about Oklahoma City. And for me, Oklahoma City has exactly three things that it's known for. First one, obvious, you say the word Oklahoma City, in your brain, the next word is bombing. That's it. When you say New York City, there's so many things. You go New York City, New York City, New York City, Yankees, whatever. There's so many things that you think of afterwards. You say Oklahoma City, the first thing anybody thinks of is bombing. So, yes, you think of Oklahoma City bombing. I think of tornadoes. And I think of the Thunder basketball team. But for me, what kind of occurred to me is, not occurred to me, that's a horrible way to put it. The way that the joke goes is Oklahoma City was the site of the second biggest terrorist attack in America, on domestic American soil in a while. I don't know, ever. You know, obviously 9/11 was number one. And obviously, think about big 9/11 is everybody in the fucking world knows about that one. Like, the day that happened and people watched the planes slam into the buildings, particularly with George W. Bush as president, every single person in the world went, uh-oh, some shit's going to happen after this one. Like, if Barack Obama's the president, people would be like, oh, I'm so horrified. But you wouldn't necessarily think there's, like, a paradigm shift in the world. You'd be like, yeah, okay, like, something happened with W. You're like, oh, we're going to have a lot of war right now, aren't we? But with Oklahoma City, you know, they had a bombing Timothy McVeigh. And he killed, like, I was going to say 600 people, but I think it was like 600 people got hurt. Maybe 30 people got injured. You know, more than is acceptable, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, if you're only kind of on the level of your average high school shooting, I'm not really impressed. Like, if a kid of Sandy Hook can outdo you, I'm not really sure. And now I'm going to stop and look it up because, fuck you. I don't want to go that bad. OKC bombing. I bet that'll get me there with fucking old Wikipedia. We'll see how many people actually died in that. And this is really gruesome. I'm also ruining all the flow of the joke. It doesn't matter. 680 plus non-fatal injuries and 168 deaths. Holy shit! I mean, holy shit! I know that on some level, while it was so big and awful, because it was in the 90s when Clinton was president and everything was just kind of, we were all just happy the Cold War was over, our president was getting blowjobs, but the stock market was rising. President was getting rim jobs, but the fucking tech companies were coming, and we're all like, fuck this, it's the fucking new oil rush, the new railroads, America has the internet, this is going to create the next 50-year boom of nothing but us whooping everybody's ass, and then it burst, but we didn't really get the burst part, so this happened, but holy fuck, that's a lot of people dead. Still, was it like 1/30th of what they did at the World Trade Center? And so, I, you know, when you ever see these white supremacists, without fail, I mean, to a T, every white supremacist is the definition of the worst representation of their race. You don't see Tom Hanks out there being like, white power, motherfuckers! Elon Musk is not like, I fucking love you, Adolf, please, you're the way I, well, maybe he does, I don't know, he's kind of weirdo. Dog, you're on my balls. Why? The point is, you know, and that's not a revolutionary thing. People pointed out before. People that believe in the superiority of the race, white, black, or yellow, tend to be shitty. Chinese people, actually the Japanese think they're the most superior of the Asians, and they might be. Huh. Once again, the Asians get it right. But, you know, it's always white trash. Like, fuck that, nigger. I'm a fucking winner here. I only had to go to school for 9 years, and I fucking got me 3 trucks and all this shit. And you use the stereotypical voice from the South because you're like me. You're an idiot, and you don't really totally understand where all the stupid people live. You're just going to go with the Southern accent, even though you could be super-duper intelligent and have a Southern accent. But fuck that shit. And on the black side, it's always, you know, someone's like, Black Lives Matter. But it's not the guy who's, like, genuinely, earnestly protesting. It's some fuckface with a do-rag and his pants are on his ass. Let me see the fact that he's got to, you know, wipe a little bit more than he tends to do when he gets at home. So, fuck that guy. I've been reaching on that one. He's a gang member, all right? A gang member. But I got to think, you know, it's like, when it comes to terrorism... Yes, the Muslims, the brown people killed more, but look how they did it. The white guy went out there and got fertilizer, and he got big bags of shit. This was all way funnier in my head until I'm like, 170 people dead or whatever, what the fuck? There was like a couple dozen, like, alright, that's not good, but again, school shooting, a weekend in Chicago, okay, but that many people, that's a lot of people. But still, the white man wanted to kill people. Not one, he didn't commit suicide. I think he's dead since. If he's not, he will be. But what did he do? He went out there and he got fertilizer. He got all kinds of chemicals and shit. And I say and shit because I'm a fucking moron who can barely spell the word chemistry. He has to remind himself there's an H in it. So I don't know exactly the chemistry he was doing when he blew everybody up and killed them, even though it was really shitty. But, eh, fuck that. They're not. You don't know any of them. And if you do, that's kind of weird and random. And, sorry. I'm not going to stop. Hello, dog. Oh, you love me so much. But he went out there and, he got fertilizer. He did chemical reactions. He used science. And he didn't kill himself, and he used science to create a bomb. Like, you gotta use a lot of real good science to take big bags of fertilizer and make it into a bomb. That's good. Now, yes, you can go on the internet and look it up and find it true. And I'm living proof of that because I rewired a lamp watching a 50-year-old black woman teach me how to do it on YouTube. But yes, still... The fact is, you're using a technique that is smart and intelligent. What did the Muslims do with their 9/11 from Saudi Arabia? I mean Iraq and Afghanistan. They just grabbed a plane that was already in the air and just steered it. A 3-year-old could do that. What I'm trying to say is that the white supremacist might be on to something. When the white man commits terrorism. He uses his brain. When the brown man does it, he just commandeers the technology of the white man. Of course, maybe that makes the brown man the smartest man of all. Let the other jackass do all the work, and you come in, swoop in, take credit, and get out. Except they didn't really get out. Nonetheless, everybody, I'm going to get out. Because this show, I don't know what this show was. I dog it off my fucking chest. Matt will be back next week. The poor guy. He's like, there might be like 1 week, one Wednesday in either March or April when I'm not available. And I'm sitting there going, dude, it's a shit show. So just fucking relax. Don't worry. Let me know if you guys win $5. I swear I'll pay you. That's only available to those of you who read it on halfguarded.com. Go to the fucking website, all right? I went to a weird accent. And I think there's a Bellator on Friday, but no one gives a flying fuck. Do they? Let me look it up here and... Oh, I'm not on Xfinity. I'm fucking watching Fight Pass. I like how now I'm going to be like, oh, let's see what's actually happening at MMA this weekend. It's not on my fucking website, that's for sure. Because I don't give a fuck about Bellator. Because you're a fucking promotion who promoted your biggest thing. After all time, and it fell apart. Liam McGeary versus McDermott. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to fucking see that. Now then, can I?
Yeah, we're just going to do this whole recap here. And that's part Irish and part North Dakota. Liam McGeer, James Gallagher, isn't the dude on Raw? Sinead Kavanaugh? Huh. I'm pretty sure done seeing. There's literally no one on this fucking card. Is this from Ireland? Yep, from Belfast. So a lot of fucking nicknames. And that's why we didn't cover that shit. Hi, dog named Mickey. I sometimes call you Mick. Oh, you got big brown eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this, what used to be for a decade plus the norm, me doing a show all on my own. But it's now a special occasion because Matt abandoned me to be with his family. My mother just texted me to let me know that she got to South Dakota an hour ago. She's putting my grandma in the home. Oh, yeah, she's going to die. She's going to die. And that's a good way to end the show. And so until next time when Matt returns, Matt will say goodbye or whatever, but I'll say good fight. Good night. Et au revoir, mes amis.
I'm finished.
Hi everyone, I'm Mike Coughlin for HalfGuarded.com. If anybody's actually listening to this part, I'll be surprised. But I realized, as a practicing attorney, I should probably mention somewhere, like they do in the movies, the motion pictures, that everything you've heard is exclusive copyright and trademark and every other legal designation permitted within the United States or any other grid country. HalfGuarded.com owns everything you just heard. Nobody else does. If they stole it from us, I will find you, and I will kill you, because I have a special set of skills. Also, anybody that's listening to this, email mike@halfguarded.com. I've never really used email, but I can get shit from it. If you've actually heard this, I'm not kidding, I will send you $5 via PayPal. I'm really curious to see if anybody in the world will ever fucking hear this. Five fucking dollars for somebody. I'll probably do it for everybody that listens, unless it gets out of control, and then I'll just delete this part. But until that time comes, everything you heard is property of the HalfGuarded.com website. Bye. Oh, and yes, I'm aware that putting in a copyright thing at the end of a podcast where I've probably stolen music from somebody else is weird, but I promise to pay those artists if they ever request it. HalfGuarded.com. Go!